Good morning, everybody. Happy Sabbath. I just want to share with you a little bit about myself. Not too much, but I just want to give you a little reason for the authority that I have to be up here. And not that it is of my own, but it is of the authority that has been given to me by God and God alone. When Pastor Haffel asked me to do this presentation today, I was in awe. I was like, wow, this is going to be amazing. You know, this is great. And I started thinking and started getting everything, started preparing. I was going and going and going. And it wasn't until this week that I finally got, the Lord made a breakthrough in my mind, and he finally gave me the message that I need. And I was starting to freak out about Tuesday afternoon. I was like, Lord, nothing's coming. Nothing is, you got to help me here. You got to bring something to my mind. But finally, I went out and played a round of golf with Pastor Mosley on Wednesday morning, and lo and behold, after I played that round of golf, boom, everything came to me. So I have an excuse to go play golf now before my sermons on Sabbath. Amen. But the reason I say that I have any authority to be up here is because I myself, and not that I boast in this, but that God has given me a desire, a willingness to serve him. And in that serving, I chose to serve my country for a time. And many in my family have also served our country. And today we have, in every branch of the military, somebody from my family serves. And I just praise God that I have a family that is so dedicated and so willing to this country and to serve the people that I see today, that I see all around me. But with that, I would like to get started. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll jump into this amazing message. Father in heaven, I pray that you would hide me behind your cross, that you would take my heart, for I cannot give it, Lord. I pray that you would consecrate me, Lord, that you would humble me and that you would speak the words that you would have me to speak. May they not be my own, but may they be from your throne, Lord. And I pray that you would guide me and that you would guide the ears of the people listening, and that you would bless them more abundantly, and that they would have a deeper desire to worship and to serve you, Father. I ask these things now in the name of Jesus Christ and his precious blood that he purchased for us on Calvary. Amen. Memorial Day. For countless Americans, is a day of remembrance. Excuse me. I gotta get rid of that. I'm still fighting some pulpit here. Memorial Day. For countless Americans, is a day of remembrance for those who have served our nation and those who have lost their lives. This day is celebrated in honor of those who have fought and those who still fight on in the great battles of this world for our freedom. It is this word freedom that men and women have pledged their lives to secure. Sacrifice, suffering, and grief are synonymous with war. Many of us have endured similar hardships and loss. Maybe you have lost a father or a mother. Maybe a brother or a sister, a husband or a wife, or God forbid, even a child. Today, a nation of families, friends, and citizens mourning the loss of their loved ones need closure in order to start the grieving process. They need a place that represents this loss and celebrates the sacrifice that protects the liberties of free nations. The tomb of the unknown soldier is such a place. The unknown soldiers laid to rest there represent all missing and unknown service members who made the ultimate sacrifice. They not only gave their lives, but also their identities so that to protect our freedoms, to protect these freedoms. The tomb is the final resting place for the unknowns and is guarded at all times. I had the privilege of visiting this memorial. This is actually a picture that I took. This memorial is in Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. I visited this place several summers ago, and I was in awe of how dedicated and respectful these tomb guards are. The scene of the place is an awesome spectacle of honor and chivalry as men who devote their lives to guarding the unknowns march day and night, rain or snow, sleet or storm, doesn't matter, 365 days a year in honor of those who sacrificed everything. Memorial Day weekend is an important holiday for America with a very clear purpose. But without diminishing the sacrifices with which these men and women have given or their memory, our focus turns to one. One who stepped onto a harsh battlefield one day, who stepped onto a harsh battlefield with honor and chivalry. He took up arms and entered the greatest controversy that this universe has ever seen. Amen. And it cost him everything. He bravely entered the battlefield and gained a great and decisive victory. This great soldier gave his life, not for a nation, but for all humanity. His life was not given in vain, but it was given to set free the captives of sin. Amen. Today we stepped onto that battlefield with him and remember his sacrifice of willing service so that we could be free from sin and slavery. We can learn from him who sacrificed all for humanity, as well as those chivalrous and honorable men who stand guard at the tomb of the unknown soldier. Turn with me once again, if you haven't already, if you close your Bibles, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read our scripture reading for today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Paul is speaking to Timothy here. He's written a letter to Timothy from prison. This is his second imprisonment, and he's writing this from Rome. And he's telling Timothy all these amazing things. He's telling him, you know, God has given you a spirit of, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. He says, do not be ashamed of the testimony. He says, hold fast the pattern of sound words. And he also says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But going on, he says, therefore, in Timothy, you must endure hardship. You must endure hardship as a good soldier. Excuse me. So a soldier is trained to endure hardship. Would you agree with that? Many of you would not be able to understand it because you have not gone through boot camp. You have not been a part of the military. But those of us who have, we understand that there is great sacrifice and dedication. It takes great trials and hardship to refine us and to move us into a place that we can be used effectively by our military. The tomb guards endure hardship and devote their lives to guarding the unknowns. They march 24/7, enduring all of the elements. Even during Hurricane Sandy, when it was going through that area, they were still guarding that tomb. Amazing, amazing devotion. I mean, to me, I just feel like, Lord, I pray that you would give me that devotion in my life, that I would stand among all the trials of this world. Mercy. These soldiers are rigorously selected for this position. They must be highly motivated and disciplined and possess a strong military bearing and soldierly appearance. The tomb guards are part of the 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment called the Old Guard, which is the oldest active unit in the United States military. And they have been around since the year 1784. The mission of these elite soldiers is to maintain the highest standards and traditions of the United States Army in this nation while keeping a constant watch over this national monument and to prevent any desecration or disrespect directed toward the tomb. Every soldier who enters the service must do so by leaving his home. The tomb guards must leave their homes and commit 2 years of their lives, 2 years of their lives, to guarding the tomb. Christ left his home in heaven to endure the perils of this world. He originated from a place that was perfect, where there was no sin, where there was no suffering. It was free from pain. Yet Christ willingly left that behind to enter this hateful, sin-sick world. He spent more than 2 years giving all for us. He spent over 30 years of his life for us in willing service. He came to a world where those who professed to be waiting for his coming mocked, ridiculed, beat, and crucified him. John 1:11 says, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. Sometimes I feel like the Christian world today, if Christ came today, that we might even do the same. And I say that to our shame. But God came in the flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and he became flesh and he dwelt among men. Amen. To redeem us from our fallen state. Christ suffered the most cruel of hardships so that we would be exalted. So a soldier is trained not only in, a soldier not only leaves his home, but he is trained in the use of certain weaponry and clothing. So we must also be able to use the armor of God effectively and the sword of the Spirit and the word of God effectively to direct our battles or point our fight towards the right enemy or towards the right place. Every soldier who has entered the service also knows that he must change what he wears and how he fights. Amazing. He becomes a different person. Completely different. The former things that he cared about, he has put off. The former things that he loved, he has put away. He has stepped forward. He has stepped into a new light. He's become a new man in Christ. He's become a new man in the military service. He dons the uniform of his nation that distinguishes him from all others. The uniform represents who he serves and why he serves. He is also trained and skilled in the use of weapons of that particular nation. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty unto God, a pulling down of strongholds. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, folks. We cannot fight this enemy with a sword. But we can fight it with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. If we devote our lives in prayer and in word and in the word, and we spend the time that is needed and required that God wants us to do, we will have a solid relationship with him. We will be skilled in directing that fight away from us and towards the enemy. We will be skilled in pushing the enemy away, so to speak. Paul says that resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, how do we resist? We resist by study. We resist by prayer, constant and fervent prayer and study. The tomb guard undergoes intense training, consisting of a series of 5 exhaustive tests over 6 to 12 months. Sounds a little bit like Hebrew. The tests focus on outside performance, uniform preparation, and knowledge. Trainees must memorize and recite verbatim 35 pages of information on the history of the tomb and the Arlington National Cemetery, including punctuation. Incredible. I didn't have to learn punctuation. Fortunately, I didn't have too much punctuation in Hebrew or Greek. But these guys, they had to put forth great effort in order to learn these things. Once the soldiers complete their training, they are able to conduct 7 different types of ceremonies. If they fail, they are assigned back to their companies. If they fail one test, they're pushed out. They're recycled. Thank God that when we fail, he doesn't send us back to the devil. Amen? Amen. Because when we fail, he says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen? Whew. Powerful. Thank God for that. The successful trainee is awarded the Tomb Guard Identification Badge, which is the least awarded badge in the Army, and second least awarded badge in the U.S. military, trailing that of the astronaut badge. In fact, only 581 badges have been awarded in the history of the tomb. The badge is the only military badge that can be revoked for any action that brings disrespect to the tomb. Are you following me? If we do any action that brings disrespect to God, if we fall away from God, when we sin, we bring sin into the body of Christ. When we sin, we taint the body of Christ. And we don't want to do that, heaven forbid. We want to be free from the bonds of sin. And Jesus Christ is our answer. Amen? So during their lifetime, their badge can be revoked anytime. They can be stripped of it. It's just like the same as almost being dishonorably discharged from the military. And I do not want to be dishonorably discharged from God's military. As Christ left heaven, he also left behind the glorious covering that was his. He concealed his heavenly fame in our earthly frame. He put aside his kingly robes, his crown, and his glory. How many of you, if you were a billionaire, could give up your $1 billion? How many of you are willing to give up things in your life that you hold so dear? As Christians, we too endure hardships in putting off our self-righteous robes, our fig leaf covering, so to speak, by accepting the guard of a new nation, a heavenly nation. That is the only place where we can accept or get our new covering is from heaven, from Jesus Christ himself. We cannot put on our own robe of righteousness as Adam and Eve tried to do in the Garden of Eden 6,000 years ago. They tried to cover themselves up. They tried to hide their shame. They tried to hide their iniquity, their guilt, their suffering. But they didn't have the merit. They didn't have what it took to save themselves. The Christian life is never easy, folks. Nobody said it would be. But it can be a joyful experience. Amen? It can be. When we spend time in God's word, when we learn of him, when we see Christ's righteousness, when we see him and we see him in his love, we can see that he is love, that he is our God. He is the one that has come to save us. We will suffer hardships for this robe. But I ask you, is it worth it? Amen. Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Is it worth it to put aside the trivial affairs of this life? Is it worth it to give up the fame, the glory, and the honor of this world? And I say yes. I champion yes. Let us remember today what Christ gave up for you and for me. He gave up everything. We must remember that. Every soldier must endure the hardships of battle. No soldier who enlists in the military expects not to go to battle. As a Christian, when we enlist in God's military, we cannot expect to fight the enemy. Or how can we not expect to fight the enemy? Of course we're going to fight the enemy. We have to. So we have to be prepared. How are we prepared? Prayer and the study of the Word of God. Sometimes as Christians, we believe that when we enter Christ's military, we won't have to do battle. Heaven forbid. Sometimes we can say, I can sit back and watch from the sidelines. We can pretend that it's not going on. We can pretend that the devil isn't real. We can pretend that this whole great controversy is just some elaborate thing to get us to turn over to Christ and to come and, you know, do what he wants us to do. But no, this is reality. This is reality. A good soldier must endure hardship, and hardship tries the man and his character. He trains for great lengths of time to refine and hone his skills so that when the battle does come, he can make decisive blows against the enemy. Christ entered the battle on the front lines, and he gave us the example to follow in how to endure hardship and how to train for battle so we do not do as what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, one who beats the air. I do not fight as one who beats the air. I do not just randomly throw punches or whatever, but I decisively make blows because the scripture has given me the pathways and how to gear myself up to weaponize myself against the devil. So we make calculated blows through prayer and Bible study. So today, we must remember that a soldier is willing. Paul says to Timothy, you must endure hardship. You must be willing to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So a good soldier is willing to endure hardship. So today, a good soldier that is willing must remember that he serves others and not himself. He is willing to endure hardship, but he must also be willing to serve as well. As Christians, we must serve each other. We are not here for me. I'm not here for me. God has put me here for a reason. He has a plan for my life. Christ was willing to serve humanity, and he never once served himself. His life was a life of continuous sacrifice and willing obedience. He created all the world and the universe, and yet he was willing to humble himself, to step down as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to be obedient unto death, our death, even the death of the cross. So a soldier must be ready to, must be prepared to lay down his life for his friends. John 15, 13 says, no greater love is any man than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. Christ laid down his life for us. He is our friend. He is our God. As we see Christ's example as the perfect soldier, how much are we willing to sacrifice to serve him? He served us. And all he asks of us is to surrender our will to him, to take the reins of our lives. Are we willing Christians today? Are we willing to let Christ into our hearts? Are we too comfortable with our nice houses, our fancy cars, and our fat paychecks, and our comfortable religion to step onto the battlefield that God has called us to step onto? We cannot watch from the sidelines, folks. This is a battle for our very souls. This is a battle for our mind. This is a battle that is eternal. I mean, it is a struggle of great proportions. It is the great controversy. Those who have work to do for God must stir up themselves to do it and strengthen themselves for it. All Christians, especially ministers, are soldiers of Jesus Christ. But I must say, aren't we all ministers? Are not all Christians ministers unto all people? We are called to be ministers. So this takes a considerable amount of willingness on anyone's part to take up such a cause. So, too, Paul engages Timothy and reminds him that there will be hardships and trials. And Paul endured stoning, vipers, shipwrecks, beatings, hunger, being lost, being alone, and even death. He was stoned once, remember? He was brought back to life, amen? And all these things, Paul said, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So it is not without tribulation that we enter in the kingdom of God. And this picture here demonstrates our walk and how we have endured the hardships for the past 160 years as the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And God has been leading us. He is the center. He is the central focus of our mission. And our mission is to enter into the heavenly gates, but not before preaching the gospel to all nations. A good soldier is not to entangle himself in the worldly cares. A soldier understands that there are some things more important than his own life. We gotta serve. Many soldiers have missed the meaning of what it means to be a true soldier that serves. They're swallowed up in the cares of this life. A soldier is sold out for Christ, and if we are swallowed up in the cares of the life, of this life, how, I ask you, can we be sold out for Christ? When Christ came to this planet, he did not come to get entangled in the transaction of the world, but he came to give us an example. He was set apart. He never once sinned. He never let down his guard. He also trusted in his commander-in-chief, God the Father. Amen? Are we caught up in the cares of this world? Christ calls us to be set apart. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are called to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So God is calling you. God is calling me. But are fruits showing the works of our labor? Jesus said that by your fruits they will know you, or you shall know them, excuse me. In the Christian soldier life, if we dishonor our Maker by not keeping his commandments, then we will in the end be cast into outer darkness, and where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Heaven forbid. Adam and Eve lost the garden over a piece of fruit, because they chose the cares of this life. So we too cannot be caught up in any of the world's affairs. So a true soldier is sold out for Christ. He is 100% his. He contends or serves in a great cause. So we must remember how a Christian is to walk, work, and worship today. We walk, worship, and worship by faith. Faith in the loving God. Faith in our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. A soldier is totally committing to do the will of his commanding officer. The tomb guard of the unknown soldier demonstrates how we as Christians ought to live our lives in service to the one who paid it all for us, Jesus Christ. The lifestyle of the tomb guard is incredibly difficult. Hear me now. They are expected, as long as they live, never to drink alcohol. They cannot swear in public, nor disgrace the uniform by fighting ever. The guards are not to talk to anyone in their first 6 months of duty or watch any TV in that time. All off-duty time is spent studying the 175 notable people laid to rest in Arlington National Cemetery. A guard must memorize who they are and where they are interred. Every guard spends 5 hours a day getting his uniform ready for guard duty. How much time do we spend getting our uniform ready for Christ? How much time do we spend studying the Word and praying so that we might bear that robe, that pricey robe of eternal life, of righteousness that Christ gave us? It's a free gift, but we also must surrender. We ought to be, as Christians, no less prepared for the task at hand and be just as knowledgeable in Scripture as out. How dedicated are we to our Savior? We need to be totally sold out for Christ. So a soldier is highly disciplined, so we must be disciplined in prayer, in the Word of God, and in our fellowship with others. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you." So we must always be ready and prepared. Would we say, well, that is too extreme? I can't live like Christ or the tomb guard. Look at how Christ lived his life. Well, maybe the tomb guard is an atheist. Is he that much more dedicated than we as Christians? I hope not. Christ lived in total perfection, and he asks us to. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, he says, "We can be, you should be therefore perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And Ellen White, she makes a statement. She says that we can be as perfect in our sphere as God is in his. Now, that is not the perfection that God has, but it is a perfection that Jesus Christ gives us before we are before our sinful nature is taken away when we go to heaven. But even so, even through all eternity, we will not ever attain the perfection that God has. Amazing. We'll be studying the Scripture. We'll be studying the amazing things that God has throughout all eternity. Christ has also been ministering on our behalf for over 169 years to produce his righteous character in his people. He died because of our tolerance to sin. As the tomb guards devote their lives to guarding the unknowns, we need to devote our lives to serving Jesus Christ. The price paid is too much to not be willing to serve Christ. It is too much. The root word in memorial is memory. And today is a day of remembrance. We remember those who have served. We remember those who are serving. We remember those who are far off places that we can't see, or that we've longed to hold and to treasure again. But we must remember our past, our present, and our future. For God is leading us along the way. Ellen White says in the Review and Herald, October 12, 1905, that we have nothing to fear for the future except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us in the past and is teaching in our past history. That's amazing. We cannot forget how God has led us in the past, because if we do, then we're lost in the future. We will just keep going over the same ground over and over and over again. So this Memorial Day, we ought to remember where Christ has led us and where he is taking us and by what sacrifice he made to get us there. What sacrifice has he given to get you here? What sacrifices have you given him in return? No man or principality or power can take our freedom away. Freedom is willingness. It is willingness to lay down one's life for a friend, willingness to stand in the face of impossible odds, and to speak the words of the three Hebrew boys. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and from your hand, O King. Amen. To endure hardship as a good soldier is a privilege and an honor, and we have been given freedom by one who is willing, who is worthy, who is freedom itself to choose for right or wrong, who has opened the portal of the tomb of which you and I were doomed to seal the breach between man and God. We have a great and mighty commander, a high priest, a King of kings, the Savior Jesus Christ, who fights our battles for us, not in us, by us, under us, around us, before us, but for us. So we can have eternal freedom. His only condition is that we were willing to surrender our lives and all our baggage, to give him our lives, our sins, our mind, and our allegiance. He can give us security and freedom that is not a moment's fleeting whim, but an everlasting, a fulfilling, a joyous, conquering freedom. Today, I would like you to thank a soldier, to thank a father or mother for their sacrifice in giving part of their family for a cause. I would like any and all who have served in the military to stand once again. I know we've already done this before, but please stand once again and be recognized. Not for your glory. We're not here for our glory, but we're here for the glory of the King of Kings. Because he has put in you and in me a desire, a willingness to serve others. Now, if you were sitting next to someone who are standing, or sitting next to somebody who is standing, stand up and express your appreciation to them and remember them. Not because we need to, but because God has called us to thank those who have served. Remember, this is for God's glory, not for men. Remember, these are people who are willing to sacrifice all. People are willing to lay down their lives for us. Thank you to all who have served. Jesus Christ has called you to serve now. Remember that they sacrificed at great cost. This week, and I ask that you not think of yourselves, but remember the great cost by which we obtained our freedoms. Many countries still today do not have these freedoms, and will we take ours for granted? You see, Satan will give us security through slavery and call it freedom. But Jesus wants to give us security through freedom that comes from him. We cannot rightly sit by and watch freedom be taken from us and do nothing. Edmund Burke said that all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Are we going to do nothing today? Are we going to stand for Jesus Christ today? Amen. Amen. We must be ready. We must be willing. So stand up with me. Stand up, all of you. Stand up for Jesus. Lord, as we leave this place now, I pray that you would instill in us these truths. I pray that you would change our robes, that we would leave our homes, that we would leave the worldly cares behind, and that we would step forward, that we would stand up for you, Jesus Christ, that we'd enter the battle, and we would wage the war alongside you. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you would give us the strength, that you would give us the courage, give us the tools necessary that we might serve you better today. And from here on out today, pledge in your hearts. Lord, we pledge today, I pledge today, that I will do my best to serve you, that I will spend time with you, that I will get to know you, Lord. And I pray that that would be all of our prayers today. And I pray that as we leave this place, that you would be uplifted and that you would be glorified today, Lord. May we remember those who have served and who have fallen for us, Lord. And may we remember you and your sacrifice that you gave to us on the cross of Calvary. We lift these things up now and then, power in the blood and the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.